We're going to start the daf here on the Mishnah on the bottom, but before we do this, I'm going to do some bad teaching methodology, and we're going to learn the whole Gemara outside before we start. Okay, and we're just going to go through the Pesukim. It's going to be important anyway. The whole Perek is, it's about Hafaras Nedarim, so we may as well learn the Parshas. In Perek Lamed and Parshat Matot, right, we have the Perek of Nedarim, and this is where Hafaras Nedarim comes from. So we'll go through the Pesukim. If you look on the sheet that I gave out, you'll see that the Pesukim say, "Vayidver Moshe Roshem Atot Lifnei Yisrael Lemor." Zeh Devar Asher Tzivah Hashem. So this is it. Now Ish. So this is the only thing. This one's pretty straightforward. Ish Kidor Neder Hashem. Oishavash Vuala Sori Saral Nafsho Lo Yachel Devaro. So far, Chol Yotzei Mipiv Yaseh. Whatever he says, he will do. This is the pasuk basically until now that the Gemara in the Dharma has been dealing with. This one pasuk, all the limudim that we've had, whether it's Yad LaNeder, whether it's Kinoi, whether it's Neder Shehutar, Mitzaso Hutar, Mechlolo, or Kol Mitzvei Mipiv Yaseh, all these limudim are items that have affected the Masechta until this point. Now the rest of the parsha is what this parak is going to deal with. So now the parsha, we did all the work for you here because I highlighted everything. But was to show you that the parsha, if you break it down into four categories, you'll see that the parsha is addressing different circumstances or situations, and all of these deal with a woman. Right? So a woman goes through different stages in her life, at least halachically, both from the standpoint of being a ketana, then being a naro, then being a bogeret, but also from the standpoint of status of being married. Right, to either possibly being not married anymore, right, or for leaving her father's house. So all these impact on the woman's status with regards to Nedarim, and who has the ability to be made fair for Nedarim, who has the ability to nullify her Nedarim. So just as background, right, we've been talking until what's called Hataras Nedarim, where the Chacham is Matir the Neder. So what's the difference between Hataras Nedarim and Hafaras Nedarim? Right, so Hataras Nedarim is the Chacham. You go to the Chacham either with a Charata or a Petach, and he undoes the Neder. Through that Charata or Petach, he undoes the Neder, and that's what we learn from the first Pasuk here, Lo Yechel Dvaro, that he cannot violate, but Acherim, right, Machlim Bichoto, that others can remove the Neder for him. So, how do they do that? When the Chacham takes away the Neder, he's what's called Oker Min Kara. Right, he retroactively undermines the nether. It's as if the nether never existed, never took place. So that it was never, as if the nether was never taken. We had an incident like this where someone makes a tnai, an individual makes a tnai that he will marry this woman if she has no nedarim on her. Right, and it turns out she does have a nether. If she goes ahead and then is matir the nether, then the tnai is fulfilled because it was as if that she never had taken that nether, as if the nether never existed. Suppose that Hafarat Nedarim only works prospectively. That means that the nether is in effect until it's been mufar, until it's been removed by the person or party that has the ability to be made fair the woman's nether. So it's only there forward, prospectively, that the nether is mufar. So the nether still existed, it exists, it's only mufar now it's removed, based on the hafara of the Baal or the father, as we'll see. Now that hafara's nedarim, you can only do it b'yom shamo, on the day that he hears it, right? Then you have, we'll see in the Gemara, it's going to discuss how long he has, but it's the psukim call it b'yom shamo, on the day that he hears it, he has the ability to be made for the nether, or make him the nether, or to either to keep, have her keep the nether, or remove or nullify the nether. So that's the big differences between Hafaras Nedarim and Hataras Nedarim. You can do any time, right? Once you find a Petach Korata. And once it's done, it's Okir the Nedar Mikara. Hafara has a limited duration in which it can be done. It's only in the Biyom Shamo, right? On the day that the husband or the father hears about it. And number two is it's only prospective. That once you have made for the Nedar, it only goes forward, meaning that it's from that day forward of the Hafara that the Nedar is not in effect. Whereas prior to that point, then the Nedar was in effect. Again, after Minot, for things like Tanai, or things where Nedar will make a difference, or if the woman violated the Nedar, right? Which would be, if you're Poteach the Nedar, then you also somewhat undermine the lack of, keeping, or, staying with it.
You violate.
Right, you wouldn't have violated the Nedar if you had a Petach Nedar, because it technically wasn't in place, right? Whereas if you have a hafara, then the woman is still in violation of the nether. And then we'll see later on, or we keep even suggesting that if she violates the nether even after hafara, she might be in violation, that she might be Hashem Yisrachlo, she still may need slicha, even though it's been mufar, but she doesn't know about it. Their husband's made for the nether, and she's not aware of it, and then she violates the nether, she may still be in violation of the nether.
Once nether is mufar, can it be... Then can you do hatara on it also? In other words, to...
All right, there is hatara. So we're going to see today, there is hatara on kiyuma nether. Not necessarily on... And once you're made for it, there's not a lot of reason to be...
Except there's the tenth.
Right.
Someone
you need to go do a petach afterwards. Right, possibly. I guess you could do a pesach on that after it's mufar. But the Gemara discusses the point where the husband or the father can be mekayim the nether. They can keep the nether in place by saying it's mekuyam. That they can go to a chacham and ask to be poteach their akim.
Does it sounds like on the day that the husband and the father hears about the nether, they have to either be making it or they could be halacha.
Right.
So do they have to take an action?
No, the default status is that it's mekuyam.
Okay.
Right, that's a good point. Right, if they don't say anything, then the nether stands. Right, that's true. But the reason I said it the other way is because actually today's wire is going to point out that once you're mekayam it, it might affect the ability to be mayfair or may affect the... if you do take action, then it might impact. But you're right, the default status is that it is... The kuyam, the nether is kuyam. All right, so let's go. We'll look at pasuk dalet. So we're going to read each of these, and you'll say we'll have to define which stage of the woman's life that each of these are dealing with. So we're perek lamed pasuk dalet v'isha. Right, so we know we're talking about a woman, right? Ki tidor neder l'Hashem asrei sar beveit aviha. So she's in her father's house, bidu ureha, right? In her youth. Right, youth here can only be limited because you can't take nedarim as a katana except for muklos samafudado, which means 1 year before. So one year, 2 years before your bat mitzvah, so she can't be that old. But assume that this woman's a na'ara and she is in Beit Aviha. So simple, it's a single woman, right, who lives in her father's house. Vishama Abiyat Nidra. Then her father hears about the nether. Vesarash Asram of Shabek Hrisla Abiya. And her father is silent. This is what you're asking. He's silent about it. Then become Kona the Rabbi Khisarash Asram of Shah Yakum.
So the first puzzle there, why wouldn't they just say Vinaraq is Kanada Lasham Bel Sarah Sabah?
Oh, we'll see. Because that's not always the case. Because it has to be in Bivet Abiyah, we'll see. Good.
With Bivet Abiyah, but the Isha Bira, just Nara. Okay.
Oh, okay. Why is it to be Isha? Maybe to define who is qualified to make a nether. I mean, only an Isha is qualified to make a nether.
Exactly, but it says instead of Isha, it says Na'ara, Kisidar Nether. We know she's during the Na'ara.
And you say, well, then when she gets to Bagu, she couldn't make a nether.
No, this is, it continues on. And,
well, we don't know.
At separate stages.
But we don't know. The Bulgar may not be addressed here, so it might be a good point. I don't know. We're not going to do the Diyok HaLashon now. Just get the big points. Spend more time on it later. Alright, and he does, if he's not, right, he wants to remove it, because he's basically moved for it. Hashem will forgive her because her father removed the nether. So here, the basic case seems to be she's a single woman, a nara, in her father's house. Her father has the right to either be mekayim the nether, or as Jeff was asking, but the default status is if he's silent, the nether is mekuyam. Right, or he has the option to be made fair the nether. Right now,
he's from the lesson of what's the lesson of Hini?
Hini, if he assumes removes or you know that
he moves it,
removes it, or removes it, or
Navanad. Is that Navanad with an aleph?
That's an ayin. Restrained.
Restrained. Restrained her on the day of.
Right. If he holds her back from being Mekayim the Neder. Right. Okay, so now we're going to skip. All right, we're going to skip down to Pasuk Yud. You'll understand why in a minute, but we'll pasuk down to the Yud. This one's an obvious pasuk, what this is talking about. It says, V'neder almano grusha. So an almano grusha is a woman who was married, now is either divorced or widowed. Right? Then there's nobody in the picture. There's no father, there's no husband, because the husband either passed away or she's divorced from him, and the father's no longer relevant because she's been married off. So once she's married off, the father, as we know, is out of the picture. So therefore, an almana grusha is equivalent of what we saw in the beginning of the parak here, which is ish Kedor Nether. I mean, that she's an independent status. She makes the nether. She's got to keep the nether. So that's also obvious what we're talking about. Now, Yud Aleph. Vein Beit Isha Nedara, right? So Beit Isha, what does that mean? That means her, if she's in her husband's house. She's a married woman. She's a married woman. Oh, that's right, Yisrael Nafshah B'Shvua. Yishama Isha V'Chrishla. Her husband hears about it. Right? Isha here, it was all with the Mapakeh. It's one of the places where it makes a difference. Isha, because it means Ishala, right? Her husband, right? So Yishama Isha V'Chrishla, and he's silent. Loi niotai doesn't hold her back. But come with nidera, because he starts to surround nafsha yakum. Then the nether is established. The im haferi haferu tamisha. Right, if her husband then says no, he's made for the nether. Biyom shamo. Right, this is again the term that we use. Biyom shamo, the day that he hears it. Komatzas vadel and nerech when he signs nafsha lo yakum. Then it will have no validity. The nether that she took will have no validity. Isha haferam vashem islachla. Her husband removed them or was made for them, nullified them, and therefore Hashem will forgive her. Again, this is Rabbi Akiva, I think Darshan's over here, why do you need Hashem Yislach Lach? If he was made for them, there's nothing to talk about. And this is, I talked to the case where she violates Neder, even though he's nullified it, but she doesn't know it's been nullified. Kol Neder b'chol shuat yisar la'anot nafesh. Right, any Neder that is a yisar la'anot nafesh, isha yikimeno v'isha yifarenu. So this defines, and again, we'll get into this later in the parak, what a husband has the right to nullify. Right here, the pasuk is defining it has to be something that is la not nefesh, whatever that means. Right, inoy nefesh, we've seen the term before, but something that is creates some sort of Gemara's going to call it beinu levana, something that is between him and her, but some sort of problem that it creates in their relationship, some sort of withholding, inoy nefesh, that affects her or her status that the husband will not be happy about. But in some way impacts on him as well. So Yishai Kimeno and Yishai Yifarenu. The husband has the right to be Mekayim or be made for that nether. If he is silent to her from day to day, again, this we'll discuss, this parak, how much time that is. Miyom El Yom sounds like 24 hours, right? Or does it mean until sunset on that day? Right, we'll see. Miyom El Yom, Mekim Kol Nerao, Kol Asara, Asher Aleha. Because he was silent, therefore all the Nedarim, this is the default again, that if he's silent, it's Mekuyam. Right, if she is if he hears it, he will carry her sin. Meaning that if he doesn't take care of her, says he does, whatever, it'll be, again, the rest of the parak will discuss this. Right, so now, we've got three cases which are obvious. One is an Arab of Beit Abiha. Number two is an Aman on a Grusha. And the third one is a married woman. Problem is, we have Pasuk Zayin. And Pasuk Zayin, what's the case here? Right? That's what our Gemara is going to deal with today. That's why we're doing this. Our Gemara today is going to discuss what the Pesukim, Zayin, and Chet Het are dealing with. What's the case there? We'll read it together, and you'll tell me what it is. B'mayoti el'ish. What does that sound like?
She's married.
She got married, right? Unadarela, mutasvata, asher asral nafsha. Well, if she got married, didn't we just do that in Pasuk Yud Aleph? In Beit Yishah Nadara. Right? Didn't the Pesukim already tell us about a married woman? So why is it telling us about a married woman again?
Erusin.
Alright. Oh, so you're saying Erusin. Why would you say Erusin?
The Beit Yishah is Nisuin.
Right? That's true. Beit Yishah is Nisuin. But, so you're suggesting that we have two stages. We have a stage which is Erusin, right? And we have a stage that is Nisuin, right? So now what's the din? The husband will hear about it. If he's silent, then everything that she said will be mekuyam. The day that the husband hears about it, he withholds her. Right, so what's the din? The husband can be mefred or he can be mekemet. How's that different than Beit Isha?
Because here the father and the husband.
Where do you see father? Do you see the word? Do you see the word father in there?
No, but it was in the previous psukim.
And therefore?
Because the transfer of one bias to another hasn't happened yet. She's still in Beis Aviha.
You're saying that the psukim Zayin to test are like a bridge between
Dalit and Yud Aleph.
Yeah.
Right, so it's very good. The Gemara is going to create a bridge, but the Gemara does it a different way, which is through the Vav. Right, it says the Vav, right, the im hayoti elish, right, that there is a Vav achibur here. Right, so that vav is going to be important because that vav connects it to the paragraph before. And that's what our Gemara is going to do, exactly what she did, which is very good. It's to deduct what is the difference. I mean, that if she, it's simply talking about an arusa, one of the things we'll see today in the Gemara is hayoti yeh. What's havaya? Havaya is a term that's used by kiddushim. Right, kiddushim is what? We make each havaya liyatziya. Right, havaya is a term that's used by kiddushin, although the Rambam points out it's also used by nisuin, but generally havaya is a term of kiddushin. So that would make sense, like Tzvi suggesting that it's kiddushin. But even if that's true, that it is kiddushin, why should that be different than ubeit isha, nisuin? I mean, since the din is exactly the same, why separate them out into two different paragraphs, two different sections in the psukim? Right, so there must be a reason that we split it out into the psukim. What do you want to suggest? That this is talking about a naro? Well, we had naro already. We had beis aviha already. And as Tzvi correctly pointed out, in Dalet you have beis aviha, and in Yudalet you have beit isha, where there's a clearly defined location where she is. She's either in her father's house or she's in her husband's house. In Pasuk Zayin, we're missing, the Gemara doesn't say this, but I think it's a great point, which is that we're missing a bayit. She's not in a house. And that's what Tzvi's pointing out. She's in two houses. She's somewhere between Beit Aviha and Beit Isha. And because she's between Beit Aviha and Beit Isha, therefore we're going to have a different din by this individual, or this woman, right, who is Arusa, right? So she is partly in Beit Aviha, but she's partly in Beit Isha. Now the Pasuk only says that Isha, her husband, has the right to be made for it. Now, how do we get her father involved? So there are two possibilities of doing that. One is the vav, here the vav of chibur, which says that v'im hayol yitzayadish. What's that vav? What's that adding? I mean, so that, in general, the sukkim speak, it's not really a fair question, v'neder amana grusha, v'im beit isha. Right, everything has a vav. So the Rambam points out that, in general, the vav, when it's used, makes sense when the topic is continuous, when there's something that's connected between the topics at hand. But if the topics are totally independent, in a sense that whatever din was in the previous has no relationship to this one, then maybe there shouldn't be a vav. And that's what the Ron says, that the vav here is different than the other vavs. The other vavs have a reason or a connection to the previous paragraph in some way. This has less of a connection. I can't say it has no connection because it's on the topic, but it's less of a connection, therefore the vav is meaningful here. Right now, we have to ask is, who has the rights? Does her father have the rights? Her father has the rights? Her husband has the rights? Do they both have rights? Right? Or is it either or and? And that's the question that we have to deal with. All right, now with that in mind, all right, now we can...
Her husband has rights.
Right, well, because the Pasuk explicitly says that her husband has rights. Right, but maybe he only has rights if her father doesn't exercise rights, right? Maybe that's the possibility, right? It seems in the Pasuk that it's more obvious that her husband definitely has rights. The question mark is about her father.
I would say it's like a transitional stage, so just be that her father has not yet lost his rights. We already said that the father has rights.
Very good. That's a Havmin in the Gemara. The Havmin in the Gemara is that the husband will have all the rights, but the father has some additional veto rights. Sorts. Although the Gemara then, later on, tries to have him into the other way, to suggest that the father has all the rights, and the husband just has, veto rights, and not that he has full rights like the father. Okay, we'll see this in but with that background, the Gemara will go very quickly. It's a very easy Gemara once you have the sukkim and the issues lined up. Alright, Na'ara ha-mirasa, aviha uba'ala mefirin nadara. Right, so Inara Musa, her father and her husband can be mefir nidarim. So this is what we just discussed, right, that the Arusa has a possibility that her father and her husband will be making the nidarim. The Gemara's going to ask me, no one, how do you know that? And that's what the discussion will be about. Hefer ha'av lo hefer ha'av, if the father nullifies it, but the husband does not nullify it. Hefer ha'av lo hefer ha'av, if the husband nullifies it, but not the father, eino mufar, then it's not mufar, meaning that the Mishnah is stating that you need both to nullify it. Right, and certainly you don't have to say if one of them is mekayim the neder, then certainly the neder is in effect. Now Gemara is going to ask, hainu reisha. Right, you just said, nara murasa, what's the requirement of v'o v'ala mefer neder? You need a father and a husband. So why do you have to come and tell me that if one of them is not mefer, that it doesn't work? I mean, that's what you just said. You're repeating the same thing over again. So Gemara says, I would have thought, O Aviha, O Ba'ala Ketani. If you simply in the Mishnah had written, Ara Musa, Aviha, O Ba'ala, Mefer, Nadera, it sounds like either one has the option to be Mefer. How do I know that they both need to be Mefer? Kamash Malan, the next two lines in the Mishnah, right, which are Hefer Av, Lo Hefer Av, Lo Hefer Av, Lo Hefer Av. That teaches you that they need both in order to be Mufar. That's first. Next one. Ve'ein terech lomar sheyikayim echad mehem. Alright, this is the hardest piece of today's daf. Alright, and we don't have to say that they're mekayim it. Lama li lemitna. Alright, yes, the answer is right. If you're mekayim the neder, right, then it doesn't work. But that's obvious. If you both have to be made for it, if one of them is mekayim it, then he's not made for it. So by definition, it's obviously not going to work. So what do you have to teach me? Like, what's ein terech lomar zu? You know, what's the benefit of saying such a...
If you're saying it goes without saying, then why are you saying it?
Exactly. Very good. Gonna say it better myself. All right. If one of them comes up far without the other one, then it's nothing. What do you have to tell me? This is Amar said. One of them nullified it, and the other one was mekayimet. He went back, and he was going to get a petach l'neder. In that his kiyum neder is equivalent of a neder of sorts, and he goes back to the chacham, and he gets the matir his neder. Right there, the Gemara says, "Ma'adatema." What would I think? Ma'ida uke ha'akre. That which this one established, the other one undid. Kamash malan. To be fair, and shnei ham bevatach. The kamash malan that they both have to be made for at the same time. What that piece of Gemara just said, I don't know. Right, because it's very unclear what I just read. I read the words, but what it means is very difficult. Because what it, the Gemara has a case, which is pretty straightforward, is one of them was made fair. The father of the husband was made fair. The other party was Mekayim the Nether. Then he goes back and gets Hataras the Darbim for his, right, for his Kiyum HaNether. Then what happens? Right, so what's the Havamina of the Gemara? And what is the Gemara's conclusion that you need Mayframes? So it turns out it's a massive, big Machlokes we've shown him. Between the Ramban and the Rambam, what it means over here. What happens over here? So there are two possibilities how to read the Gemara. One possibility is that once I'm a Poteach the Nether, once I undo the Nether, then it's as if the status is returned to the original status, and I just need them to be made fair again, because that's what the Gemara says. Ma'udatema, what I thought, ma'udatuke ha'akre, and one, this was mekayim, the other one was oker, ma'ashamalan, the mefer and shem ha'avachat, that they need to be made fair at the same time. And since there was a kiyum in between, that kiyum eliminated the first hafara of the other party, and now you need them both to come back and be made fair again. That's basically...
So ma'udatuke ha'akre means, what would you think, there's a tie.
Right.
That's what it means. Right. That's what this interpretation.
Yeah, basically, or my deuke ha'akre, or that which the other one did, the hafar that he did ha'akre, he undid, yeah. And then he will never be able to be mefer again. No, that he didn't take his right to be mefer the neder. He does now. They just have to do it again. Okay, that's the interpretation of the Ramban, and that seems to be to me the easier way to read the Gemara. If you look in the Ran, 2, 4, 5, 6 lines up. Six lines up in the narrow lines, from the bottom of the narrow lines. It's klomar. You see the word klomar?
Mm-hmm.
Klomar. Shelo yafsik ben echad lechaberu davar. Shehu me'akev hafaro. There can't be anything in between the two hafarot that would stop the hafaro. Right? So, kagon hakom. Right? That's the kagon gomadai. That's exactly. Being mekayim the nether ruins the other hafaro. Came into ha'u shata labbar hafarohu. Since now, by the moment, even though when you're matir later on, your kiyum goes away, since at this moment the kiyum basically eliminates the ability to be made for the nether, because once one of them is mekayim the nether, then it's basically done, because you can't be made for the nether, it's as if everybody falls away. It's called dikhli. Right? We had this by karbanos. Once you're medakka, once you lose the ability to do it, it's as if everything is gone. But, the kevet ayishat love hafar hu afilu hak hafar kamaisa the idech b'telola. Everything's gone. Now they both have to come back and make a fara, have to nullify again. So basically that's what the Gemara says, that your original, your kiyum eliminated the original hafara. You would thought it eliminated it entirely, meaning that he'll never have the ability to say it again. Know that you can be made fair b'vat achas, that you can be made fair together again after you have a she'ela on the kiyum. So that's the Ramban. That's the way the Ramban learns our Gemara.
You see? So in Akre is referring to
the original hafar of the other party.
But two different people. In other words, that way, which one?
Yeah. But he was
One was Mekayim, the other one was
Maker. Right. So that the party that was Mekayim was Oker, the one who was Mefer. Basically, that's what Gemara says. I would have thought he was Oker at the Gamre, and the Gemara says, no, Kamashman, that they can come back and be Mefer together. That's the way the Ramban reads it. I think it's an easier way to read the Gemara, but we'll of course have the mighty Rambam who thinks otherwise. All right. So if you skip down like just two lines, it says the Chiddush Rambam Zal Aval Medivrei Rambam Zal Nira the Chol She Chala Hakama Ben Afara Dechada Dechad Lafara Deidach. Anytime you have a Hakama that interrupts between the two Hafaros Deidach, Shuv Inan Yecholu Nahaper. You can no longer do Hafara. Right? Omiyu. When you say badacha, it doesn't mean literally at the same moment, but what does it mean at the same moment? Kamashmalan, that you have to. So his conclusion is the exact opposite of the Ramban's conclusion. But it says, Kamashmalan in the Gemara, that shneihem badacha, that means that they both have to be in a position to do a fara where there's no interruption in between. You only get one chance at nullifying. And once you use up your chance, it's done. So here, when the one party, say the father was matrid, and then the husband went ahead and was mekayim it, the kiyum of the husband ruined the hafara of the father, but he already used up his chance to be matrid. Now the husband wants to come be matrid, he can't get the father on board anymore because the father used up his chance already. Kamash malon, he has to be a batacha. You can't have any. This is much more similar to what's called dichui in karbanos. In karbanos, when there's a problem with the karban at any point in time, we call it dichui. The karban was no longer roi to be on the mizbeach. Once it's dichui, you can't come back and then be roi the mizbeach. So once something is nitche, from being valid, then it's as if it's gone. It's as if it disappeared and there's no way to get it back. So that's what the Kamash Malon is. According to the Rambam, the Kamash Malon is Shem Bavadachas. They both have to be parties that are able to be mayfair and mayfair at the same time. Once I have a coming in between, I've ruined the hafara of the father, and he can no longer get that back in order to put them together again, to put the two hafaras together.
What does Bavas Nefzad mean? Does it mean actually simultaneous? Assuming that he wasn't mayfair.
Right. Oh,
does it mean simultaneous?
Yeah, so that's good. Excellent question.
No, so he says over here, this is maybe that Shakras, because there are besagni, kosher of his
signature. Right, so that's the Rambam. The Rambam and the Ran are saying that it's not literally together. Okay, that it means locked out, but to get together just means that you don't have an interruption.
Uninterrupted by a hakama in between.
Finding it uninterrupted by mayfair. Right. But does that mean, same day? As long as one of them is not mayfair.
Right.
So there's no interruption then.
No,
I'm sorry. That is correct.
Okay, but that's fine. But what does that mean, though?
But only in Biyom Shemot. They only have the ability to do it in the day they hear.
But
not that day. But if the father and the husband hear on bed on two different days, right, there's a possibility that one could be made for today and one could be made for a week from now. I mean, the Hafara and Kiyum are only meaningful when they hear about it.
So that's according to the Rambam.
Yeah, now the Rosh says that it really literally has to be.
So according to the Rambam.
Not simultaneous, but within. Let me just finish with that. But the Rosh says, if you just say over here, he says, Kolomar Shloy Hefsek Sha'ab Ben Habbez Hafaro. It doesn't literally have to be back to back, but it has to be pretty proximate. That's what his idea is, that it has to be within the hour. I mean, like close together, not just spread out over the day. The Rosh takes much more literally, that it has to be in a close proximity of time, whereas Rambam says it's not meaningful. The whole idea of Shem B'Vadachas is to come to exclude the time, not time, real time, but the ability, something in between that's interrupting the Hafara.
There's a B'Vadachas is more like each of them, their initial reaction is
meaningful, right?
Later. Right. And if it's not, then that's an interruption.
So then according to the Rambam, Ma'ad Uki Ha Akre means what this person was Mekayim, he is now being Okerit and turning it into a Hafara, which would be valid to join with the Hafara of the other party to cause a dual party Hafara.
The Hav means exactly
that.
No. Hav means the conclusion of the Ramban. That's exactly right. The conclusion of the Ramban is exactly that. That Badakas means that you ruined the first Hafara, you just need to do it again. The Hav means, according to the Rambam, is exactly what you're saying. That the Kiyom is over the original Hafara, and that gives him another chance to make a Hafara.
No, I would say the Hav mean is not that. I would say the Hav mean is that his Kiyom is now turned into a Hafara. Because what is it? My de'uki ha akre. In other words, you might say that now by going and be mashal on that, now you're turning that into a hafara, which means that there is a juxtaposition that we required.
Right.
It's no longer, because there's now nothing in between the two. And even though the first guy was Mayfair and he can't use that opportunity again, it's okay. Because you cannot join this later thing together with the earlier thing.
Very good. I think that's a good possibility. Yeah, it's a good happening.
No one says that?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I didn't say that, but I think it might be the right way to read it. I think the question is because the Rashba asked this question on the Rambam. He challenges the Rambam's position from exactly what you think the Habamina is in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. Alright, so if that's what the Rambam was addressing, I'm not sure, but I think I like it better. I like the way you're reading it much better. So Mazukiha Akrit, whatever he did, the Kiyum he did already is now gone. If it's gone, then you really have the Vash Akash, because they're both afar. The Gemara's Kashman, that once you have a Dikli in between, once you have a Kiyum in between, it ruins it. I like the way Tzvi's reading it a lot. Right? The possibility that I gave was that Mazukiha, that when he did the Kiyum, he erased the original Afara. So then he can come here and they can both be made through again. Mashallah, no, that if you have an interruption in between, then he's lost his chance to do it. I think either way is valid. I like Tzvi's way to read it a lot better. The reason I didn't read it that way is because the Rashba asks on the Rambam exactly what Tzvi is saying is the Havmi of the Gemara. Don't we know? Didn't we just say, what's the difference between Hafara and Hatara? Hatara is that you're Oker Mi'ikaro. You eliminate it as if it wasn't there. So when he does the Kiyum and Eder, where does he go? He gets a Shelas Chacham. He goes to Hatara Snegarim on the Kiyum. So it should be as if the Kiyum never existed. If the Kiyum never existed, then why does the Rambam's conclusion that they can't put the Hafara together? It should be gone. It's as if, it should be as if it was erased. Basically, that's what the Rashba asks, and he challenges the Rambam's position there. Rashba, Talmud of the Ramban, basically, you know, he goes with the interpretation of the Ramban, but his challenge to the Rambam is exactly what you're saying that we're coming, is that Akiras Neder, right, the Hataras Medarim, or the Akiras Neder, eliminates it. If it's eliminated, then why do we have a problem at all? The Ran says he doesn't feel that's a problem. The Ran is, he answers up, if you see here, the D look lab Christian Klaus. It's four lines up from the widest lines. So that's the question. The Rashi says Uladi Lab Kushihi. See in the middle of that line? Uladi Lab Kushihi. Klau. The Kiddushin mitok shumase gamur. That he says by Kiddushin, again, that was the example I gave you earlier. When you have Kiddushin and she has a tonight that she has no Nidarim on her, and there they go and they're okra in the Nidarim, it's as if she has no Nidarim on her. So I said, there it's a Maisa Gomer. Apakal the close much tiva lo chaile, because even though as long as she's not matcha in the Nidarim, the Kiddushin doesn't take effect because she has Nidarim on her. Kihe tira amina deigle milsa di mikara chaile. We have a retroactively we see that the Maisa Kiddushin happened. Above a far the chad, mahani kausalat fe to abin shah labi dehu. Right, so when one of them does a hafara, that action is not a full action. Why not? Because hafara snidarim cannot work by itself. You always need the other party to work with you. And therefore your action is not a full action. It's kind of like a half action that you're doing over here. Ela b'tzirufa d'idah. Only with the combination of the other party do you have such an action. We had a similar case by Yibum, right, in Yibumos. The idea of mamar, right? By mamar, a mamar ha mamar, or the idea of how can the mamar affect the other individuals? So if you have two people who do mamar, since the mamar is not a full kiddushin, therefore when another person makes a mamar, right, he's able to affect maybe the other party. Or if he gives a get, he's able to affect the mamar of the other individual. I bet there was machlos Rabbi Yossi, I think Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim there, whether there was a mamar ha mamar, that there was a mishnah there. And that's exactly what the Gemara says, that since you have a weakened power to do something, your action is then left open for others to affect it. Right? By kiddushin, you do a full. You had a maisa kiddushin. There's a tnai, there's a condition, you might say kiddushin, but your action is a full action of kiddushin. Just the conditions need to be fulfilled. By hafara, you can't say that. Even if you were to be maker and the other party did nothing, your hafara is not a full action because you still require the hafara of the other party. So you've never done a full action. And so that's what the Ran says is the difference here. You need the other party. And they don't work unless they're in that one point in time. If the Tanya, the Hefrach, Abraham, Umes, the table of Hafara, so if he did Hafara and then he dies and the other party had any time to do it, it doesn't work. His death removes his Hafara. Hilka, even the Hafara, the Chad, Afilu, Kilo, Hekim, Chavre, Kalisha, to what's weaker, Kalecha, the Hekim. So therefore, anytime he is making it, even the Shat, the Lochazim, Shufay, the table of the Gamre. It's as if it erases it. See what the Ran says? The Ran says, not like that you have Hafara, and then he does his Kiyum and Neder. And the Kiyum and Neder says, basically the Hafara is not good, but it's still there, but it's not good. If you remove the Kiyum, the Hafara will come back. He says, no, when you do the Kiyum and Neder, and the other party does the Kiyum and Neder, it's as if you erase the original Hafara. Because the original Hafara was not a full action in and of itself, because it couldn't stand by itself. Since it can't, it's like a, you know, it's a feather, it could be blown away. Whereas by Kiddushin, the action he took is a full-fledged Maisa action. It just has a condition in it. Here, Hafara is not, you did a full-fledged Hafara, it just has a condition, you need the other party. It's as if you never did an action. Because your action is only meaningful together with the other party. And therefore, when the other party comes along and does a Kiyum, he erased your Hafara. It's as if it doesn't exist anymore.
So by that line of reasoning, then, if the first party who hears about it is mekayim it,
right.
And then changes his mind and goes and
oh, that's, maybe yeah, that should work, right?
That should work.
Right.
There's nothing between his safara and the other one.
Very good. That's good enough. Right? Yeah, that's correct. That's right. Exactly. That if they both were made for after the hatara's nadarim, it should be fine if they didn't do it beforehand. Very good. All right. Now we get to the Gemara. Minolan, Nara Musa, Aviyo Bala Mefer Nedera. Minolan, how do we know this? Amarava, Amarkra, Vim Hayotia, the Ish, Unendarela. So if you see on the sheets, right, that's Pasuk Zion, which we define to be a Meurasa, right, a Nara Murasa. Right, so Aviyo Bala Mefer Nedera. Aima Haikra, Binisuaktiv. Let's say that Pasuk Zion that we looked at, say that's talking about in Nesua. Mar says, Ibisum, Tib. We already have the other pasukim. As we looked at pasuk yidal in beit isha, right? If you have in beit isha in the dara, that we know already about a nisua. So this can't be talking about a nisua. Ema tarvayu b'nisua. This is what I was suggesting. So you say both of them are talking about nisuin. The chitim etreik, right? Nisua lovely the main mark. Why would you need two paragraphs to talk about nisua? One in hayotei leish and one in beit isha. So teach you lovely the main mark. Shein abal meifer b'kotmin. To teach you that a husband cannot be made for the darim that transpired prior to his marrying the woman. If she took a nether prior to his getting married, that he will not have the veil. He will not have the ability to be made for the nether. Where it says, Balabna Melish might mean, why do you need two paragraphs to tell you that? You could have known that by itself. Right? Because if you can be made fair the Nadara, then the fact is that the husband can only be made for Nadarim by himself. I'm sorry, if by Nesua, the husband can be made for Nadarim all by himself, that means that he doesn't have a relationship with the Nadarim that took place prior to his getting married. So you would have known it anyway. I mean, that it says the mbtisha nadara. If she takes a nether when she is married,
it also says the yom shamo.
What? Yeah, but the yom shamo is because when the relationship that
explained that earlier nether.
Right. You're saying that the yom shamo can mean even beforehand, but they're saying but it says mbtisha nadara. It says clearly that she took a nether when she's nisuin, and the fact. The Gemara says the fact that a husband alone could be made for it suggests, this is the Gemara's suggestion, that means that it can only be when he had a relationship. You can't be made for a nether for somewhere you didn't have a relationship. To give the husband access to the Dharam prior to they're married, you need the father involved, because the father had a relationship at that point in time. So Gemara says, Mamela, you know the fact that only the husband's made for the Dharam, by definition, you can't be made for those that are prior, because he didn't have a relationship when those Nidharam were taking place.
You know, the lesson of the Pesach Zayin, it practically sounds the other way. The Mayorasi Elish, Undarea Alech, sounds like the Nidharam was already on.
That's going to be the answer. Right. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. The Gemara is going to differentiate between Naram Ruasa and Nisuin. In Nisuin, the husband has no right to be made for things that took place prior to the Nisuin, because he alone has the right, and number two, it's Beit Isha Nadara. The Shaul is pointing out, when it comes to Nara Murasa, it's Im Hayotzi El Ish, and the Nadarim already on her. Since the father is made for with him, they jointly can do it, therefore he has rights, or the ability to affect Nadarim that were prior to their engagement, prior to their Erusin. That's exactly what the Shaul, that's going to be the conclusion of the Gemara. So what you're pointing out is actually the conclusion of the Gemara. You can't say that the Pasuk Zion is talking about Nisuin because it says Im Hayot Yalish, right? And Havaya, as you pointed out, is a Lashon Kiddushin. So Gemara says, now let's get to other possibilities. Ema Av L'Chudei Meifar. Let's say that the father himself, only by an Arusa, only the father can be Meifar the Nidarim, by an Aram Arusa. Although, it's very hard to say this because the Pasuk says, V'Shama Isha, V'Yom Shamo, and then Shamo Isha. It says openly that the Pasuk, the father says it. But the Gemara is going to knock it off slowly, one by one, even though from the Pesukim themselves, you probably could have knocked it off. It says, the Gemara says, well, Im Kain, if it's the father alone who can do it, then what are you going to do with Pasuk Dalet? It says there, Basra Yisar Bevet Aviyah Yen Yota. Right, so there, when it's in her father's house, he can remove it. Why do you need to tell me about a single Nara Bevet Aviyah, that he can be made for it? Just tell me about a Nara Murasa, that her father can be made for it. His father can be made for it by himself when she's an Aram Murasa. Certainly when she's single, he has the ability to remove it. The fact that the Pasuk only talks about Beit Aviyah when she's single suggests that when she's already Arusa, that he does not have that right. Now the Gemara says, right, if when she's engaged, the father can do it alone. You have to tell me when she's single. So the Gemara says, all right, Ema Abli Baye Arus v'aris l'chudim eifer. Right? Let's suggest that the possibility that the husband can do it alone. To me, this is the most logical explanation because the pasuk only talks about isha. Only talks about the husband. Right? So maybe the husband alone should be able to be made for the nether. So if the husband's made fair, then done. We're over with. The father, right, can also be made fair, but the father can only be made fair with the joint, right, joint ability of the husband. And the father cannot alone be made fair, but he can be made fair together with the husband. So you say to me, what's the difference then? In the end, it's just the father is hafara, I mean, the husband's hafara that matters. Because in the end, either he does it alone, or he has to do it with the father. But if the father doesn't do it, he can do it alone, so what's the difference? The difference is that the father's mekayim it. If the father's mekayim it, then he could wreck it for the husband, and the husband will not be able to be made fair. So that'll be the nafkamina here. So that, to me, in the psukim, this reads actually the easiest. Which is im beit imayote yelish, and then it says in the psukim, oh, psukim zayin chet tet, talking about the husband being able to be made for the nether. Sounds like the husband is the one who has the rights. What are you going to do with the fact that this is either a repetition? The father sounds like the imayote yelish, as even as Shaul pointed out, sounds like something from previous. Yes, you're right. The father has some residual rights in the woman, but he doesn't have full rights. The husband has full rights. The father has residual rights. That's why don't we say that? Why don't we say that the husband's the ikar and the father has some small or residual rights in his daughter? So that's the Gemara's happening. Chitay ma'av dichtu. So I just asked the question, what's the father's point? If the husband in the end is needed to be made for the nedarim, what does the father have anything to do with it? If he is making the nether, then it works. I mean, that's what we just pointed out. So the Gemara says, in Cain, beit isha nedara l'may chatov. Right, so that Gemara says, then why did you write about a married woman? If a nara murasa, the husband already has full rights in her. Right, he basically has full rights, the father has some residual rights. It's clear once he's married that the husband will have all rights, and the father obviously has no more rights here. Why do you have to write the whole paragraph in Pasuk Yud Aleph? That is, a Beit Isha. Why do you have to write a Nisuin at all? So my father, Kavachomer, Mama, come of Arus Mefer Lechudei, in a place where the father still has residual rights, by an Arusa, the husband can do it alone, Shlova Mokum Av, in a case where it's when she's Nisuin, where it's clear the father is totally out of the picture, then, Mibaya, you would have to tell me that the husband has unique rights there. Of course he has unique rights there. So my says, Ema Beit Isha, Nadara Lomar, Shaina Bel Mefer Bekodmin. Right, that's what it comes to teach you, that Beit Isha comes to teach you, not that by Nisuin that he has his own rights, but to teach you that the husband has no rights in previous Nidorim once he's married, once he has full Nisuin. So Mark says, well, if that's the case, Umine, and from that you can learn out, what? Arus Mayfair bit Kodmin, right? And from that you can learn out that an Arus is Mayfair in Kodmin, that the Arus does have the ability to be Mayfair in the previous. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. Elalav Mishom Shutfutei Da'av. So that's the answer. The Gemara's answer, it sounds like a question, but the Gemara's answer is, so what we suggested, what the last suggestion was, that we're talking about a case of Arusa. The husband has sole rights, and the father has some residual rights there. And the Gemara says, oh, if that's the case, what do you need the whole paragraph in Beit Isha for, the marriage paragraph in Yud Aleph? That comes to teach us that a husband, once the Nisuin is there, he has no rights anymore. The Gemara says, well, if you say that, what's implicit in that? When he's an Arusa, right, that when she's in Arusa, that he does have rights in Kodmin. So the Gemara says, if he has rights in Kodmin, how did he get those rights? He only showed up in the picture. His relationship with this woman just started at the moment of Arusin. How does he have rights to the previous Nidarim that were made beforehand? Must be that her father is involved. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is, it must be Mishum Shudfutei Da'av. Must be because of the relationship of the father. And that's how the Gemara concludes, that it must be that they're on equal footing. What's the conclusion? One is, that Pasuk Zayin, we don't know what it's referring to. Is it referring to a Arusa and only the father rights? Is it Arusa and only the husband has rights? The Gemara rejects that because of the two other paragraphs, right? The paragraph Dalet, which says the father has rights when she's single, and the married rights in Yud Aleph, which the husband has sole rights then. So it can't be, we don't need you to teach us about either one of them having sole rights by an Arusa, because then the other paragraph is unnecessary. Right, it was unnecessarily relevant. So it must be that they have some sort of joint rights. The Gemara suggested maybe they have joint rights in the fact that the husband has full rights, and the father has some, you know, residual rights. So Gemara rejects it and says, well, if you have two paragraphs about Nisuin like that, what does that imply? It implies that the second paragraph, you wrote it because the husband has no rights in Kodmin. That means that in Arusa case, that he does have rights in Kodmin. If he has rights in Kodmin, the only way he can have rights in previous Nedarim is if the father is involved. If the father is involved, then that's exactly the conclusion.
So you're saying when he has complete jurisdiction, that he has rights.
Right.
And unless there's something in the other scenario that enhances
his ability to touch the codeman, and that is his father's involvement in the Nadar. All right, so now we'll stop here. I'll just point out the last line in the sheet that I gave you today. It says, "Ela chukim asher tziva Hashem et Moshe ben ish liishto ben av lebito ben nireha beit aviha." Right? These are the rules of a husband to a wife and a father to a daughter. Right? So that's the concluding pasuk. So that concluding pasuk is going to be used tomorrow by Tanya Debei Rabbi Shmuel to say that's how we know that the father and the husband have joint rights. Why? Because in the pasuk here, there's some sort of hekesh. They draw a parallel between Av and Mito and husband and wife. So what's the point of that hekesh? That teaches you right, that Nara Murasa, they have some. There's a place where they have joint rights. Well, yeah, because we'll get to it tomorrow because you don't have the sheets tomorrow. But that's where we'll start tomorrow. All right, so we'll stop here.
She's someone that says maybe he's so first.